Healthcare organizations are finding that some staff members are hesitant for a variety of reasons to receive the COVID vaccine. Organizations can take a number of approaches, from vaccine mandates to incentive payments. Yet these tactics do not really address the strong, even deep-seated concerns staff members have about their vaccinations. Welcome to Modern Practice. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva, practicing physician and associate vice president of clinical resources at Vizient. On this episode, we'll present a recent interview I had with two leaders at Vizient member organizations. Both of them had developed approaches for reaching out to those on staff who had vaccine hesitation. I'll start out with results of a recent Vizient survey on this issue and then begin the discussion. Let's take a listen.
We're going to hear some organizational perspectives on the vaccine hesitancy in a moment, but I thought it would be helpful to kind of level set based on a survey that we have, or at least kind of show some data that we have here at Vizient. The results of a survey that was conducted over 200 Vizient members in response to a period survey from that of early January, from January 13th to the 31st. So please note, we understand that the caveat, this is actually a few months old, if you will, but I still think it brings a lot of suggestions to the relevance when it comes to our staff hesitancy. If you look at some of the data, even though there's been improvement in hesitancy, I think the data is still relevant. So I'll just enumerate just a few key nuggets in the survey. First of all, that 27% of respondents said they experienced moderate to high hesitancy among their employees. And the most common reason cited was just vaccine hesitancy due to potential side effects and insufficient clinical data about the vaccines. What I heard specifically was just concern about the science behind messenger RNA, particularly among certain specialties, not so much physician, but nursing and environmental services. We noted that between that of 77 to 64% of the correspondents, respectively. And the most common intervention cited by the responses was that of role modeling, particularly among that of certain racial, ethnic minorities, and using role modeling among them, educational materials, emailing updates and the vaccines. And I think that we'll be learning many of these tactics in addition to more based on what we're hearing from our guests. So that's actually a perfect segue for me to introduce our guest today. So I'm delighted to welcome to the panel Dr. Michelle Andersack from the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center over with the University of Washington, as well as Dr. Tony Reed with a CMO system-wide for Temple University. Both of you, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, pleasure, real pleasure. So the session is really intended to be more of a fireside chat, a discussion, if you will, basically on your perspective on the issues. So just to level set with some questions, if you will, I'd like you all to actually give us a quick overview of your organizational footprint, in addition to what you're currently doing in reference to your updates on how your employees are being vaccinated. And then let's dive right into some of those barriers that actually led to their adoptions and then specific strategies that it worked on you. And I'll also share what we've been hearing from the membership on a national level with that. So at first, I actually would love to introduce Michelle. Thank you, Michelle, for joining us today. And tell us about your journey and what mitigating factors you do to actually help with hesitancy among your medical staff.
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much for having me. So full disclosure, I'm with the COVID-19 Prevention Network. So we were the group that was shepherding through the U.S. government-funded COVID vaccine trials. So I've spent my career, the past 30 years, doing HIV prevention work, and for the last decade have done HIV vaccine prevention work specifically. And so when we were asked to pivot to COVID and to ensure diversity and inclusion in the trials, I reached out to my colleagues around the Seattle area and around the country, really asking about how COVID was impacting their communities and impacting them. And I think the critical thing to note is that we went into COVID with systems and institutions that are, for the most part, lacking in terms of their reputation of trustworthiness among BIPOC individuals. I belong to several affinity groups of BIPOC individuals, healthcare professionals like myself, and much of the dialogue and discourse in those groups is around some of the contemporary challenges that they face as people of color working within healthcare institutions. So I think much of the hesitancy that we're seeing is that lack of support and lack of trust in the very institutions that we are part of, that we work with. And I also think that there's a lack of information that we've seen, and not so much a lack of information, but lots of conflicting information. I think it's more the challenge. Early on, when the vaccines were first available, there was a video that was circulating around my social media platforms across BIPOC communities of a Black nurse who was proposing that information was being left out from communities, and she had the Pfizer data and the Moderna data and was reading it line by line and saying, this is being left out, kept from the public. And meanwhile, these were the data that were available on the FDA website that anyone could access. And if you read one line of the safety data without the larger context, it can be incredibly scary, I think, for a lot of people. So I think letting people know that the information's out there, getting people the information, has really been a major part of what we've been doing. We actually created a public Dropbox where we have distilled the FDA data into sort of front and back, bite-sized kind of information that people can attain. And also have reached out to some of the healthcare workers who came to me, came to some of my colleagues with reservations, with questions, with fears, to really ask them about what changed their mind and to provide testimonials of their own journey to getting the vaccine. And I think that this is really incredibly critical. I myself, when I got the vaccine, I got the Pfizer vaccine, both doses, and the second dose showed me that I have a very robust immune system. And I think that really is the way that we need to look at it. I mean, we look at these side effects as like really horrible things. And yes, I did not enjoy the side effects that I experienced in my second dose. And at the same time, I'm like, wow, as a 50-year-old Black woman, my immune system is working and it's working well. And now my immune system is primed so that if and when I do come in contact with COVID, it's ready. And so changing that discourse, I think, has really been a focus and one of the things that we've really tried to do in getting testimonials out. And I do think it's important for those of us who have gotten vaccinated to share our journey. Now that the vaccines are open for younger children, 12 and up, I have a 12-year-old. She's going to get vaccinated on Tuesday. Sharing our decisions as a family with regard to why that happened, I think, is incredibly important. And several of my colleagues who are in the healthcare system have also sort of shared that, because I do think that the challenges with the contemporary systemic racism that many people of color face does cause concern for how much we can trust institutions. And at the same time, I think there are many of us who are working in the institutions, who are at the table, who are trying to get things to be transparent, making sure that the information is out there and ensuring that people of color have access to the vaccine when they decide to have a vaccine.
Hey, Michelle, out of curiosity, and forgive me that I'm interrupting the flow, but has it been by field of healthcare? For instance, I know among physicians, and I'm generalizing here, many of us were going on Facebook and Instagram and kind of showing either a picture getting injected or our Band-Aids. But I understand among my nursing colleagues, that really wasn't the case, and there was some pushback. And there's some other fields where that was the case. And has that been your experience?
Yeah, that's definitely been my experience. I think the individuals who have expressed the most concern and the most lack of vaccine confidence are individuals who are the social workers, the nurses, the physician assistants, the lab techs in the hospitals, the janitorial staff. Those are the individuals, I think, who within the system, because of the power and the dynamics, often have felt not part of the power structure and have challenges, I think, with seeing institutions as being there for their best interests because of some of the microaggressions that they've experienced, because of feeling sort of outside of that power structure. At least that's what I have been hearing in my conversations with colleagues, and that I know have been existing for years because of these affinity groups that I belong to in the hospitals and in the institutions that I work within.
Tony, I was curious, has that been your experience as well, that among the fields there have been different levels of hesitancy, if you will?
There's been, yes, I'll say there's different levels of hesitancy. There's been different levels of willingness to put it out there. to your point about the social media posts, we're seeing the same thing. I'm also seeing, having worked in one of the COVID units is a leveler in that as well. We're seeing the more time spent in our COVID units caring directly for COVID positive patients have been more willing to put it out there as well. And so we're seeing a number of factors that go into that. And honestly, that factored into our vaccination program and in how we rolled out the vaccine to our staff.
One of the things that I like to say throughout the pandemic is many of our dirty little secrets, if you will, as an industry came out, issues with social determinants of health. Could it be that this is in a larger picture, to kind of echo what you said, Michelle, that there was a trust issue among certain fields going on, maybe even a lack of engagement the right way that resulted in some of the hesitancy that we're seeing? And maybe some of the way to mitigating factor is to start having those real-time conversations to address some of those issues with trust.
Well, I think if you look at a lot of the fears and uncertainty, it really comes down to a lack of confidence in our systems and our structures. The fear of how quickly this vaccine came to being, at the very base of that, what I hear is we don't trust the systems and the structures that are in place to do the right thing. You're acting too hastily, you're moving forward, and you don't have our best interests at heart. So I feel like we have to come a long way to build confidence and to be more transparent about the systems and the processes, because as we were talking about before, these mRNA vaccines, this technology is not new. It's been around for a very long time. And Dr. Kazmikia Corbett and the folks at the Vaccine Research Center were waiting with bated breath for the sequencing to come out so that they could work. And I just saw an interview with her over the weekend. Once they got the sequence, they had the vaccine formulation because they were waiting and they had been working on coronaviruses for years, thinking that this was going to be the next thing. And I think having that trust in that, in the science and the systems, that we invest a lot of resources and we have incredible talent in this country and around the world doing the work. So how do we build confidence in that? And I think it comes from confidence in our institutions and the way we treat people within our institutions, not only the people that we provide services to, but the people who work with us and within our institutions.
That's the end of this episode. Next week, I'll resume my interview with Drs. Michelle Andrasek and Tony Reed. Please join us for other Modern Practice podcasts on the Vizient Medical Leadership Channel. Subscribe today, like us, or send us your comments. Also, please listen and subscribe to SG2 Perspectives, the podcast on the latest in healthcare strategies. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva. Thanks for listening.